which is Chaudhry versus Holder.
May it please the Court. My name is Tejas Shah, and I represent the petitioners Mr. Asib Chaudhry and his family in this case. The sole issue before this Court is whether the Board of Immigration Appeals' construction of the term lawful status set forth at Section 245K of the Immigration and Nationality Act should be upheld, applying the principles of Skidmore deference. Petitioners are eligible for adjustment of status to permanent residents pursuant to this section of the Immigration and Nationality Act because they did not accrue more than 180 days without lawful status in the United States.
Now, doesn't your theory, though, depend on this ever-rolling forward idea that, you know, one application gets denied and another one gets filed and then there's another period of time during which the person is lawfully present, and then that gets denied, and then another one. You could drag that out forever. It doesn't seem that that's what the law is supposed to be.
Your Honor, respectfully, we understand that that was the concern that was raised by the Board of Immigration Appeals as well as the government in support of the BIA's decision. If that were a specific issue, it could have been addressed by Congress in the statute. It could have also been addressed by the agency through the publication of a policy memorandum. Conversely, the Board of Immigration Appeals' construction of the statute in this narrow manner leads to the similarly illogical interpretation that an individual with a pending adjustment of status application on the 181st day could then have that application denied pursuant to Section 245K, because the fact that an application is pending itself doesn't confer any sort of status. This is a specific issue because Section 214B of the Immigration and Nationality Act creates the doctrine of immigrant intent, which leads many applicants for adjustment of status unable to extend their temporary non-immigrant status, and therefore, by virtue of operation of the law, they become dependent on this pending adjustment of status application for any sort of lawful status in the United States. The fact of the matter is that a pending application for adjustment of status gives an individual the color of authority to remain in the United States. It leads to the issuance of an employment authorization document. An individual is non-deportable during that period of time. So it seems contrary to the agency's past practice to then state that that pending application doesn't confer any sort of lawful status. I would also point to...
Well, it's kind of an after-the-fact theory, which they've set forth in quite a few of these memoranda that we've been referred to, where if you do get the petition granted, you just continue on and adjust your status. But if you don't, the time has been running against you. That seems to be their theory.
That does seem to be their theory, Your Honor. And we would point to the very language of the statute itself, which uses the phrase lawful status, as suggesting that this was meant to be inclusive of periods where an adjustment of status application is pending.
So nobody's talking about, I mean, this is so Byzantine, nobody's talking about lawful presence anymore. It's lawful status that we're...
Correct, Your Honor. Yeah. This is not unlawful presence, which is defined at Section 212A9B, which is a completely separate provision of the Immigration and Nationality Act. This is lawful status. The government, in their brief, has pointed to policy memos on point with unlawful presence. They've also pointed to sections of the regulations, 8 CFR 245.1, that define lawful non-immigrant status. Both of those terms are completely separate and distinct from lawful status. Lawful status itself, as the government concedes, has no definition anywhere in the regulations or in the Immigration and Nationality Act.
So you're just saying lawful status means you're allowed to be here and you're allowed to work, maybe, let's say. I don't know what else you would add to it.
Well, we're suggesting that an individual who files who has a properly filed application for adjustment of status is in a lawful status while that application is pending. We concede, of course, that our client's lawful status expired on the date that their adjustment of status applications were adjudicated in December of 2005. But subsequently, they filed another application for adjustment of status. It was properly filed in May of 2006, and the department's own policy memoranda say, the Neufeld memoranda specifically, which we've directed your honors to in our briefs, specifically state that the filing of a new application for adjustment of status tolls the period that's counted for the purposes of Section 245K.
But doesn't it, I mean, that's a contradictory memo. There's another paragraph in that memo that says, notwithstanding that, if it's eventually denied, the alien will not be considered to be in lawful status after the expiration.
There are certainly...
It seems to go all over the block, actually. I don't find it too helpful.
It certainly does contain internal contradictions, Your Honor. And because the Department's policy on this issue is very unclear, and because the Board of Immigration Appeals itself made no attempt to define the concept of lawful status in its decision, we would argue that it's simply not persuasive, applying the principles of Skidmore. They didn't make any attempt to explain or look at the legislative history of this particular section of the statute. They made no attempt to determine how it would fit within the context of the INA as a whole. This court previously in Arab Lidze had held that, you know, for persuasiveness, there has to be some attempt to ascertain the meaning of the statute, the meaning of phrases in the statute. And there's
so
been
let me ask you another question. The government refers to 8 CFR section 1245.1D, which has a definition of lawful immigration status. And subpart 5 of that definition refers to somebody who's in parole status, which has not expired, been revoked, or terminated. So I'm looking at the photocopy and the record of the document that Mr. Chaudhry received when he came back into the United States on March 12, 2005, which says he's paroled until 13 March 2006. How does that affect his situation?
Well, Your Honor, the issuance of a document of that nature could certainly give him lawful non-immigrant status in the United States.
So in other words, I mean, if you instead of looking at what you were looking at, which is all these I-140 and I-485 filings, if he's paroled into the country on March 12, 2005, and he's lawful until March 13, 2006, he's below 180 days again.
That's correct, Your Honor, and that actually is clearly supportive of our point, because our position is that the advance parole was issued to him alongside his pending adjustment of status application. That advance parole was another indication of the lawfulness of his status. Now, we're drawing a distinction between lawful status, which is defined at which is, I apologize, undefined, but stated in Section 245 of the INA, and lawful non-immigrant status. The government is directing you to the definition of lawful non-immigrant status. And
it says lawful immigration status.
Or lawful immigration status, and attempting to you know, present this as the definition of lawful status. We're arguing that the Board of Immigration Appeals should have at least made some recognition of what the definition of lawful status is in the first place. They made no attempt to do so, and simply assumed without further explanation that lawful immigration status was equivalent to lawful status. Because the Board of Immigration Appeals decision doesn't carry the basic persuasive weight, because this is contrary to the agency's prior practice, wherein applicants for adjustment of status there's a presumption of lawfulness to their presence in the United States, we would ask this court to grant the petition for review and to remand this matter to the Board of Immigration Appeals. I would like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal, Your Honors. Thank you.
Raymond?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Arthur Raven here on behalf of the government. First, I would just like to indicate that the Board did properly construe the term continuous status, although counsel believes that the Board never explained in its decision what it believed to be continuous status. In fact, it did.
But, you know, even if the Board – I want to direct you. You cited this regulation repeatedly, this 1245.1D. which defines the term lawful immigration status. And it includes a number of things. It includes an alien admitted to the United States in non-immigrant status whose initial period hasn't expired or whose period has been extended, but it also includes in parole status, which has not expired, been revoked, or terminated. Now, if you look at the history of what happened to Mr. Chowdhury, his L1 status expires January 21, 2005. He's paroled into the country March 12, 2005, only 50 days later. Then other things happen. His second I-140 is filed in December. Both of the I-485s are denied. But then his parole status doesn't expire until March 13, 2006, and it's only another, I think I've counted, 73 days later that his third I-140, the other, the Saris Oil one, is filed, and that's approved May 14, 2007. So I come up with 123 days out
yes,
of
sir.
Status. Not relying on this idea that you don't count back. I mean, that I understand the government's position on it, but really for a wholly different reason.
Well, I mean, first of all, that argument has not been exhausted. I mean, that was never addressed by the board. That was never raised by the petitioners.
But the board had the whole regulation in front of it.
It did, but it addressed it in the specific context which you talked about, the same regulation, but the subsection they talked about was whether or not non-immigrant or lawful immigrant status is defined as the extension of the non-expiration or extension of your current status, or for technical reasons, if you know somehow you have a delay in processing.
Right. No, I know the technical.
That's what the board had addressed in it. So you know, as far as the board's concerned, it has never addressed that specific issue as to whether or not this particular alien falls under the subsection that is the parole subsection you're talking about. But second of all, advanced parole as a topic. That is something that deals with a person who is admitted to the United States, then for some reason has to leave the United States, and then is granted advanced parole for purposes of travel, and is then returned to the United States to the same exact position that they had left.
Right.
So we're talking about admission, which is a completely different statute, which is 8 U.S.C. 1182.
No, I understand that, but looking at this form, it says paroled pursuant to 212C5 of the I-N Act, and there's a date that's put down. It seems to me rational people, and I'll assume Mr. Chowdhury is one, could actually think that the United States is a government of its word, and if they've paroled him until 13 March 2006, then they've paroled him until then. They, there's no asterisk saying unless we change our mind, or something.
And I think the parole issue deals, like I said, in a completely different statute that
and
does not put him into unlawful.
And it's mentioned. Now, your exhaustion argument, I understand.
Okay. But here's the other point. What it is talking about is, did he then, was he in unlawful presence? That's what it's talking about. Not lawful status. There's a distinction between the two. Under 1182, that statute, as opposed to the 1255, which is the adjustment of status statute, we're talking about two different concepts.
But why are they married in 1245 D1D5, where one of the things is in parole status, which has not expired? Why would you use the word parole, which, as you say, primarily operates in a different section of the law? They're pulling it in.
I do not know that, Your Honor. But parole as a legal immigration concept deals with the admission of aliens and their status as part of the admission statute,
mm-hmm.
not for adjustment purposes, which is a completely separate statute, which deals with a totally different terminology. So as my opposing counsel indicated, we are often construing terms that are not meant to be used interchangeably. So lawful status is not to be used the same as unlawful presence, for example. Or if somebody fails to maintain lawful status, that is not equivalent to unlawful presence.
So is lawful status the same thing as lawful immigration status?
Well, that's what it appears that the board believes, that, or at least that is the example it had used in its decision when it said on page 4 of its decision, when it, in paragraph 4, it addresses the respondent's, or I'm sorry, the petitioner's argument that the pendency of his first adjustment application, which was denied in December of 2005, does not mean that the legal fund somehow retained his lawful non-immigrant status. So it used that term in its analysis of what it means to have lawful status in order to be able to file another adjustment application and not be within the 180-day period.
So, but I can easily see that lawful immigration status might be something different from lawful non-immigrant status or lawful immigrant status, given the importance of intent to immigrate or not, or non-intent to immigrate to the whole structure. But this regulation seems to address the general topic of one's immigration status as opposed to one's presence or other lawful or otherwise. So, you know, it seems to me that you were correct that the regulation is relevant to our determination, but that you might not be correct that it's fatal to him.
Well, I mean, other than the fact that the board failed or did not have an opportunity to even broach that subject and address the difference, and that's, you know, why we have exhaustion. He had every legal opportunity to raise that specific issue. He didn't. So, you know, to have this court on its own initiative decide this case on a legal doctrine that it was never addressed by either of the parties or the board below would appear to defeat the exhaustion doctrine. You know, the only thing I can fall back on, Your Honor, is to say that the board did use that definition of lawful immigrant status to define what I believe to address what it believed to be lawful status.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Could I take you back just very briefly to the facts of this situation? How did he arrive based on employment that he – all right. And that employment ended?
Yes, Your Honor. He had a B-1 visa, which he then changed to an L-1 visa, which extended his period of stay in the United States until January 21st, 2005. That is when his lawful status ended in the United States. Thereafter, he never filed anything to extend that status. Instead, he repeatedly kept filing these adjustment applications based on other employment visas. But because those employment visas were withdrawn by his employers.
He did get other employment?
Yes. Yeah, he did. He changed employers, so his original employment visa applications sponsorship was withdrawn by his previous employer. And so he basically...
And his new employer filed another one.
Exactly. He did. But it was not filed until May 26 of 06, and his status expired back in January of 05. So we have this huge window of where he was not in lawful status.
Well, we've had cases before where there was a single employer. This thing expires. It doesn't run indefinitely. They have to renew it, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. And
the employer just dropped the ball and didn't do anything, and he didn't either. And then next thing we know, the kids and the wife are gone.
That's not what appears to happen in this case. He changed
employers. I understand it's not this case.
And so,
but it's similar in the sense that they're all dependent upon his action or the employer.
Yes, Your Honor. Yeah. I mean, he could have moved to extend his status before it expired back in January of 2005, but he never did. Instead, he just kept repeatedly filing these serial applications for adjustment of status.
What are the standards for such a motion? Is that who does that go to? DHS or
yes, Your Honor. Yeah, USCIS. Yeah, CIS. For adjudication.
Okay.
And in this particular case, as we said, the burden is on him to show eligibility. You know, he has not done so. What the government's position is this, that by failing to maintain his lawful status, which he could have by filing a motion to extend or an application to extend, but he didn't. Instead, he wants this court to adopt this novel interpretation of the law, which is You know, all I have to do is not even have anything adjudicated. I just have to keep filing these serial applications for adjustment of status, and my status never expires. So you can't use that against me because I had filed it. Subject to the court's questions, I see my time has ended. I think I've answered all the questions. Thank you, Your Honor.
Both counsel, the case will be taken under advisement. The court will be in recess. Thank you very much.